If you take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, and I want to read a verse to you, then I want to ask you a question, and I want you to try and give me an answer on these questions. I think I know what your answer will be predominantly, but I just want your thoughts on this right now. 1 Peter 5, 7 tells you and I, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. How do you think you cast your cares upon Jesus? How would you cast your cares upon Him? Anybody give me an answer?
Prayer.
That was my first response. Praying. Praying is important. We don't understand, I don't think, as Christians, how important prayer is. I want to start this series on the importance of prayer in the life of Christians. Now, it's going to be some basic things in here, but it's things you need to be reminded of, and it's going to progress as we go along over the coming weeks. But when you think about prayer, people ask these kind of questions. Even the media now, they're asking some of these kind of questions. Does prayer really make a difference? They've done studies now where folks that pray seem to get better than folks that don't pray. And they're trying to say it's because it's something that releases in the brain and all. No, it's because the one that made the brain, it's the one who is the great physician, it's because my Heavenly Father. Amen? But does prayer make a difference? What is prayer? What is prayer really? General Rice wrote a book, Prayer, Asking and Receiving. What is prayer? How do we pray, or how should we pray? Why should I pray if God already knows everything? That's a question I've been asked before. You ever asked that question? If God already knows everything, why do we have to go pray about it? Does God really answer prayer? I've had folks ask those questions, and I'm sure that if you've talked much about your prayer life and let others know what God's done for you, you may have heard some of those exact same questions. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and this will be our scripture as we begin this series, because this is where our Lord gave us not the Lord's Prayer, but the model prayer. The Lord's Prayer was in John 17 when He prayed for us. Amen? But this is how He taught His disciples to pray. It is the model. Now, we don't repeat the vain repetitions, but this is to be the way prayer should come from the heart. And each area that talks about, we should be discussing with our Lord in our daily prayers. In Matthew 6, if you look with me at verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And may I paraphrase that? You'll let me. They have their answer. Verse number six. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. That's an amazing statement, because having said He already knows your needs, He still wants you to pray. After this manner, after this model prayer, here, therefore pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Number one, He's got to, in order for Him to be your Father, you've got to come to Him by way of the Son. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by the Son. And when you do come to Him by faith, by way of the Son, He becomes your Heavenly Father. And you must remember He's holy. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as it is on earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so that's when you pray, those are the areas you should cover, at least those areas in your prayer. Prayer is not just a list of gimme, 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 gimme. We'll be covering that in weeks to come, but prayer is actually a form of worship. Amen? And it's how we cast our cares upon Him. We take them to Him in prayer, and then we trust Him with them, and we leave them there, or we follow the instructions He gives us to take care of those things. Amen? in that. Father, as we go into Your Word this evening and we discuss the importance of prayer, Father, every one of us here would, if we were honest, would say we could do more praying. Every one of us here, no doubt, that have been saved for any time at all could rejoice in the fact that the prayers You've answered. Number one prayer, salvation. We believed and we called upon Your name and You saved us. But then, Father, as Your children, time and time and time and time and time again, as we've prayed to You and brought our knees before Your throne and asked for Your will in our lives and sought Your guidance or Your healing, time and time again we've seen it, Father. What a blessing it is to know that our prayers are answered. Father, I pray that this series would be an encouragement to those that would hear it in the services and to those that might hear it online through the website, that it would be an encouragement to them to pray more, to trust God more, to cast their cares upon You, for You care for us. And we would do that through our prayers and through our faith. Father, bless this study tonight. I ask in My Savior's most wonderful name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, when we pray, there's two things we need in our Christian lives in order to grow effectively. Two things that we need to strengthen our faith, to guide us, to show us what God wants. Number one is Bible study. 2 Timothy 2:15 is study to show proof unto God. We need to study God's Word. When we go to the Bible and study the Bible, that is God speaking to us. This Bible is God's Word. It is the Lord. Jesus Christ is the Word. Amen? John 1:1. And this is the Word. This is God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to us through the Word. Aren't you glad? That's how He challenges you. That's how He convicts you. That's how He comforts you. That's how He guides you. Aren't you glad? And then the other, of course, is prayer. And that's when we, in return, talk to God. A one-sided conversation won't last long. Won't bring much response. In fact, you offend the person that you're not responding to if they're talking and you're just simply sitting there ignoring everything. For a conversation to be effective, for fellowship to go, it takes two ways. And so as we study the Bible, then we are led to respond to God in our prayers. And as we pray, if we are really allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us, to fill us, to control us, to have His way with us, He will direct us back to the Scriptures, oftentimes an answer to our prayers as we're trying to find guidance. I want to give you tonight, I'm going to give you a little handout. It's pretty much blank lines for you to fill in. But it's 11 reasons we're going to go over tonight. And you may add, you may be able to add some more to that. But 11 reasons why prayer is important. And I'd ask you to jot some of these things down so when you're tempted not to pray, or you're wondering about, does prayer really make a difference? You'd look at these again. Maybe keep them somewhere close to your Bible, somewhere close to where you do your daily devotions. Somewhere when you're tempted not to pray, you can glance at this and be reminded there are many important reasons. I'm going to go over 11 of them tonight. But you could probably go on this list and add a few to it yourself. Maybe you'll want to do that on your list as you get down through it. Number one, the reason we need to pray is, but we've got an enemy. The devil. He is the great deceiver. He'll even come to appear as an angel of light. Not as an angel of light, but to appear like an angel of light. He will is the father of all lies. He will lie to you, but make it sound like he's telling you the truth. He's a roaring lion. He seeks to devour you. He doesn't want you to be effective for God. He doesn't want you to be used to testify of the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to gain the victory in your life that will draw you closer to God and make your testimony more effective than the Lord. There's a devil. And prayer is a God-given way we have to resist him. It's a God-given way that we have to resist the devil. Look at Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 tonight, and I'm going to go rather quickly through these, so I'd suggest you take a few notes there. But listen, we're to put on the whole armor of God in verse 11. In verse 10, be strong in the power of His might. And then we go on here in verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers, against the rules of darkness, against the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Who do you have to withstand? It's the devil. You say, well, it's the world. Who's controlling the world? It's the devil. You can say, it's people in my life. Who's controlling them? Even our Lord had to turn to Peter at one point and say, get thee behind me, Satan, when he was trying to keep him from going to the cross. But when you resist those things, you're actually resisting the devil. In James 4, verse 7, it says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Isn't that wonderful? But you find that power. Now, when you put the armor on, we're not going to go through all the armor tonight. That's another lesson itself sometime in the future. But there's all the armor of God. But then he says in verse 18, praying always. You put the armor of God on with prayer. Each piece put on. Each piece made sure it's securely in place by prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You not only pray that you'll be able to resist him, but you pray that the brethren will put the armor on properly and be able to resist him. Amen? And you pray that others will understand the importance of prayer. When God brings difficulties into your life or into my life, oftentimes he's just trying to get us to our knees, to get us to where we will come back to him in prayer. He hasn't heard from us. And he knows the devil's out there laying traps for us. The devil's out there wanting to snare you. The devil's out there wanting to defeat you, to ruin your testimony, to make you not effective. And so he's given us that great tool of prayer to resist him. Number two, because prayer is God's way for us to get what we need from him. And you say, well, God already knows what I need. Yes, but he sure does like to know that when you depend upon him for it, and when you ask him, you show him that you're dependent upon him. Amen? So it's because it's God's way for us to get what we need from him. Matthew 6:11, read a moment ago, give us this day our daily bread. That's your needs for the day. That's what you need to get through the day victoriously, successfully, safely. It's all those things you need. James 4 and verse 2, the end of that verse says this, you have not because ye ask not. You know, God may know what you need, but he may decide if you're not going to ask for it, I'm not going to give it. Sometimes, parents, you do it. Sometimes you wait for your children to bring something up before you bless them with that or provide them with that. You want to know they appreciate that you're doing that for them. And God wants to know that we are dependent upon him for our needs. And so prayer is a way to get what we need from God. Now, that's not all prayers. Prayer is not just going to God with a give-me list. It's not writing down your wish list or your Christmas list and saying, God, here it is. I'll be back tomorrow to pick it all up. That's not how you approach it. But it's to bring your need, your daily bread. Now, we have some examples in prayer, the importance of prayer. Who was the Lord Jesus Christ? Not a trick question. Who was the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He is God. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? Yet when he walked this earth, and he veiled himself in flesh, now without sin, mind you, amen? But he veiled himself in flesh, yet he relied on prayer to go through those valleys, to go all the way to that cross. Now, as God, he wouldn't have turned back, amen? But he showed us, if the Son of God, if God incarnated, if God in the flesh, if prayer was important in his life, then how is it to you and I? Because we are not yet perfect. We are cleansed by the blood. Amen? We have been sanctified and justified, but in the flesh, sin still dwelleth. Right? Paul said, there's no good thing in my flesh. Talking about sin in that. Say the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are not perfect. He was. And he depended heavily upon prayer. Look at me, if you would, at Mark chapter 1. Mark 1 and verse 35. Here's our Lord. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day. Now, they didn't have phones back there or texting or emails, but I would say before the phone started ringing, before folks started showing up, he went out and departed into a solitary place. He had his prayer closet. And what did he do that for? And there prayed. He saw the importance of talking to his Father in heaven. as God the Son, he saw the importance of the fellowship of God the Son and God the Spirit. And so he went out a great while before day. Not just 5-10 minutes early. I believe Bunny says a great while before day, he may have actually been out there a couple hours before the sun came up. Now, I don't know. Great while, you can put down what you want for a great while, and I'll put down what I want for a great while to get to heaven. We'll ask him what a great while was. But it was more than just a couple minutes, I believe. It's a great while before day. Look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 12. And it came to pass in those days, he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. If the Son of God needed to pray all night to fellowship with the Father, how come we think we don't have to sometimes spend much time? Sometimes we, and one of the things about this last day that we live in is everybody is running to and fro. Everything is rush, rush, rush. Everything is instant. I want it done now. I don't like that. I get frustrated when things get that way. Listen, pull back. Take a few moments. Listen to God from His Word and spend some time in prayer. Pull back. You are tonight. You're coming to church to be encouraged. Amen? And I prayed tonight that I knew you all would need encouragement tonight, because I know you've had a long week and no long weekend coming up. I know you're working hard all week, and I know you needed something to encourage you. Amen? And prayer is where we refuel. It's where we get encouraged at. And if our Lord saw the need to pray all night, you and I should ask our question. How many times have I ever prayed all night? Now, I'm not saying school pray all night just so you can say you prayed all night. But I'm saying that if you really want to worship God, if you really want to draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. If there's something in your life that you urgently need done, well, the longer you fast, the more you pray, the longer you pray, not just to say the words, but the time you spend in fellowship, worshiping, pouring your heart out before His throne is important to Him. And it is to you. Whether you understand it or not, we need that. Look at John. We won't read. Look at John 17. Now, we're not going to read all of John 17 tonight. Several weeks back, I did that one of the messages I was doing about the prayer there. But I want you to just understand in verse 17. This is prayer of intercession. He's preparing to go to the cross. And he's going to pray for the believers. And he starts off, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father." Now, he taught them in Matthew 6. How do you start off your prayer? Our Father, right? And he says, "Father, the hour has come." And then he goes on to talk about the cross being the glorifying the Son, which would be the cross, that the Son would glorify Him. And he goes on to pray about the cross, about those who are going to be here, even those of us here in the last days. Amen? But he prayed. He prayed for that. In Matthew 26, as he was coming down, that was before going to the garden. In Matthew 26, he's actually in the garden praying now. It's only a matter of moments before they're going to come, and he's going to go to that cross, Matthew 26:39, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed. And saying, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." In verse 42, again he prayed, saying, second time prayed, saying, "Oh my Father." Again he goes, "My Father." Notice both times, he's talking to the Father, amen? Like He told us to do. "If this cup may not pass away except from me, except I drink it, Thy will be done." And then, of course, down here in verse 44, he left them again and went again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ knows what it's like when God does say no to a prayer request. Because He said, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And the answer came back, "It's not possible. Not if they're going to come to heaven." And so he said, "Not my will, but Thine." Our Lord saw the need to go to prayer, and the need to submit to God in prayer, and the need to wrestle. Sometimes in prayer is where you wrestle with God. And then you submit. Amen? God understands your heartache. He understands to say, "God, but why must it be this way?" As long as you do it in the right attitude. Amen? And if God says to you and tells you why, or if God says, "I can't tell you why, but this is the way it's going to be," as he told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. That's what he said to the Lord here. My grace is sufficient. The cross must be in that. And then, of course, as a church started, number three was the prayer was important in the life of our Lord. Number four, as the early church started, and the apostles, as the early pastors and the evangelists and those church planners, they considered prayer one of the most important parts of the church. Look at me, if you would, Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at several verses in Acts just quickly here. But Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, our Lord is now gone to heaven. They're to go and wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 14, they're all in the upper room. These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication. There's 120 of them there in one accord, praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit, praying for God to fulfill that promise. They knew they needed the comfort. They knew they needed the teacher. They needed the guide. They needed the power that our Lord told them to come to the Holy Spirit. And so they're there, and they're praying. They taught us the importance that before the church could even start, the New Testament church, it required prayer. If you look at Acts 2, the church has now started, and there's 3,000 souls being saved on the very first day at Peter's sermon, and in verse 42, and they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. The early church, 3,000 of them before the throne of God, praying. You think there wasn't some power there? 3,000 of them, 120 of them in one accord. Now there's 3,000 of them. Wow. Can you imagine what would happen in Waynesboro if 3,000 of us met in one place, in one accord, and prayed for the power of God to fall down upon us and for souls to be saved and God to use us? Could you imagine? Wow. Where two or three are gathered, there is he in the midst of them. Amen? When we pray that night, if we're praying in one accord, and we're praying and we're submitting, do you realize what God can do even with a group like this? Little as much when God is in it. Amen? Look at Acts 4, verse 31. Acts 4, verse 31. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. When I come into the auditorium, before I try and get here before anybody else does, I try and spend a few moments here before the altar, and you'll see me up here. I'm not trying to put on a show. I'm just asking God to make the message count, to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I told God tonight, God, if I get up there and I don't give them anything, they wasted their time coming here. I need something for them, God. It's the middle of the week. They're tired. You're fighting your battles. You're going through trials. You're having those cares placed upon you this week that you need to cast on Him. Amen? And I knew you needed something. And I was asking God, fill with the Holy Spirit. You see, prayer is necessary to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts chapter 1, they were prayed, waiting for the Holy Spirit. They prayed there in Acts chapter 2. Now in Acts chapter 4, they prayed again. And the Holy Spirit comes down and they spake the Word of God with boldness. By the way, you can put a little note there next to that verse. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit, not tongues. But the boldness to speak the Word of God. If you look at me, if you would, at Acts chapter 6 and verse 6. Acts chapter 6 and verse 6. This is when they pick up the deacons now, whom they were the apostles. When they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. They picked the men out. They prayed for God's will. They prayed with their hands on these men and prayed power upon these men. And of course, verse 7, the Word of God increased and even priests were getting saved there. And then Acts 12 and verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Listen, right all around this world tonight are Christians facing battles. Now, you and I have our cares upon us. But I don't think there's been a single soul in America beheaded yet for their faith in Christ. But it is happening around the world tonight. You say, well, I don't know who they are. They're your brothers and sisters. Are you praying for them regularly, daily? Maybe you don't know their names. Maybe in the news you will hear some families out there. You may know a few of them from watching the news, but even if you don't know any of their names, they're your brothers and sisters. You can at least pray, God, I'm praying, Father, I'm praying for my brothers and sisters in those lands that are under great persecution right now. The church prayed for that. Our missionaries, they're in peril out there, folks. This world is not Christian friendly. Things are happening. Even in the countries that are so-called open doors, there are still a lot of enemies out there that will take things into their own hands. And we need to pray. And the early church saw the importance of praying over this. Number five. Because prayer is still important to our Lord in His present position as our great intercessor. What's He doing? He's interceding for you and I. He's praying for us still. Look with me, if you would, at Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He's pleading. He's praying for you. One of the things prayer is pleading with God. Amen? Moses stood between God and the people, didn't he? Abraham stood between God and Lot. Now, Lot hadn't done his part, but Abraham did his part, didn't he? Prayer is interceding. It's pleading. It's praying for us. You can intercede on behalf of lost souls. You can intercede on behalf of Christians that are stumbling and weak. You can intercede on so much. But our Lord, that's His ministry. Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. You messed up at all this week yet? Aren't you glad He's there interceding for you? You lost your cool, or you had an impure thought, or something came out of your mouth shouldn't have come out. Maybe you got angry. Maybe something slipped out. Maybe something you watched or you listened to somehow. Maybe something you told God you were going to do and then you backed out of your end of it. Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ is interceding for you? He's able to save them to the uttermost. Why? Because He's their intercessor. It's His prayer that He's doing for us. Prayer is that important that our Lord is still in the right hand of the Father and He's still praying for us. So prayer is important. Would you say amen to that? It is. It's important. Number six, because prayer is the way that God has chosen to grant to us mercy and grace to help in a time of need. Listen, do you deserve God's forgiveness? No. No. Mercy is favor that's unmerited. Amen? Listen, we sin every day, and one of the first things we do in our sin, in our prayers, is we must begin to confess. Amen? For if I regard iniquity in my heart, He won't hear me. So prayer is how to do that. Of course, in that, you go back to Hebrews 4. Turn back a chapter there, too. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In fact, sometimes your trouble comes because you did disobey God, and now you're going to face the consequences, and you go to God and say, oh God, I'm sorry. I see now the damage I've done. I need Your grace. I need Your help, God. Amen? I need to make it as right as I can, God, and with those that it affected. 1 John. 1 John, I like this one in 1 John. This is one I share regularly on prayer. It's one of my favorite verses on prayer. And I had to put it down here. In fact, I put it in towards, if I hadn't done that, I went back and thought, no, I need to include 1 John 5 in there. But listen, this is how we find the grace. We know. Isn't it wonderful to know that because of God's grace and His mercy, He's going to answer your prayer? Christ is interceding on your behalf. You come before the throne room and you give your prayers. Verse 11, this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son of God, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. There's that mercy and that grace to find help in our time of need. Aren't you glad? I'll tell you, I am. I'm on number seven, aren't I? Number seven. If I go out of line, remind me where I'm at. Number seven. Because prayer is the means of obtaining fullness of joy from our Lord. He wants you to be full of joy. He came that you might have life, might have more abundantly. He wants you to have joy. Look at John 16. Look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 23. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Now he's talking about when the Holy Spirit would come here. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive. Why? What's the end of that verse say? Verse 24. That your joy may be full. This bottle of water that keeps sipping from here, it's about one-third full now. To full is to be so full that not one more drop can fit into it. That if you put another drop in, it just spills out and goes over everywhere else. Oh, listen, I think that God intends us to be so full of joy it's spilling out and others can see it. Amen? Oh, man, you spilled some joy on me. You know what I mean? That's how full of joy God wants us to be. Listen, when you meet someone who's cheerful and smiling and encouraging, aren't they a breath of fresh air? I've had friends like that, that just having them walk into the room, just watching their smile on their account, you can think, boy, I'm glad I'm here while they're here today. I've known folks that, I can think of one individual I've known years ago, he's in heaven now. I never saw him have a down day. I never saw him come to church looking tired, wore out, or discouraged. He always came in smiling. Now, I didn't get to see him the week before he died. He's not from around here. But I'm almost betting those that did get to see him left being encouraged. I have no doubt he's probably laying there smiling at them saying, don't you worry about me. I'm going to heaven. You're still going to be here fighting this mess. Oh, it's wonderful to have that prayer there. It's obtaining the fullness of joy. Number eight. Listen, do you ever get anxious? Do you ever get frustrated? Do you ever try and figure out, what's it all going to come to? How am I going to get through all this? How can I overcome this? I'm just one person. And you get anxious and those cares begin to weigh down upon you. One of the best ways to do that is to prayer with your list of thanksgiving. Start thanking God for the times He's already met those needs. The times and those trials and you thought, how am I going to get through this one? And He got you through it. Start thanking Him. And thanking Him for the way He's going to answer this prayer that you're praying now. Look at me, if you would, at Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. And look at me at verse 6 and verse 7. Be careful for nothing. Remember when the Gibeonites came to Joshua and he didn't take time to pray? It was a small matter. He could already see it from a far off country. Their wine bottles were old. Their bread was stale. No doubt they had come a long way to seek out His protection. And they were His next door neighbor. You see, pray about everything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. God doesn't like it when we take Him for granted. Does not like the sin of presumption. He wants us to appreciate. And what's the best way to show your appreciation? Gratitude. Not forgetting what He's done for you. Realizing how much we owe Him. So you pray with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And when you do that, look. That anxiety, that care. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I think that peace of God, you know what I think? when our Lord spoke to the wind and the waves, and the sea became calm. Master, we perish. Carest thou not? Now, they were of little faith, but he calmed the storm, didn't he? That's what prayer does. It calms the soul. It calms the storm. When you get frustrated and you get hectic and you get rushed, say, wait, stop! I've got to pull away with my Lord for a few moments. And just take a few moments. Instead of a coffee break or turning the radio or TV on for a break, go to the one that can give you real peace. And find the peace that you can get from God. Listen, my friend, the longer this world goes, the more anxious you're liable to get if we don't learn the importance of prayer. Number nine. You're number nine, right? Because prayer, and I already mentioned this earlier, but it's how we obtain the filling, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Look at Luke 11. Luke chapter 11. And look with me, if you would, at verse number 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. What they're asking for now is the filling of the Holy Spirit. See, we think oftentimes, I think, because we're reading the Bible, and because we're going through the motions, that God is pleased and He'll automatically fill us. But I think far often we miss the key of prayer that unlocks all that. And I don't know how much time you pray. I'm not saying you don't spend a lot of time in prayer. But I'm telling you, examine your prayer life and you can find more. When these things come upon you, when you need to fill in the Holy Spirit, especially if you're going to go talk to someone about the Lord or you're going to go counsel someone, spend much time in prayer getting a fill in the Holy Spirit before you make that phone call or that visit or write that email or that text. Be careful. Make sure you do it in the Spirit, because the flesh will make you regret it if you say something in the flesh. Look at Ephesians 6:18, and you know this verse, but let's turn there. Just, it goes along with Luke 11:13 there. Ephesians 6:18, we're commanded to be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And that's why we do it in prayer. Lord, you've commanded me to fill your Holy Spirit. Lord, what I'm going to do right now, I cannot do of myself. Lord, when I come behind this pulpit, I cannot speak to them of me. If it's of me, they've wasted their time. I've not done anything for eternity. But Lord, if you'll fill me with the Holy Spirit, if I've actually got your message, and if you'll fill me with the Holy Spirit, and you'll feed them through me, Lord, something great can happen. Amen? And that's how we ought to pray when we go out for our day. God, throughout the day, filled with the Holy Spirit. If I do anything that would deflate me, so to speak, from the Holy Spirit, that would grieve Him, that would hold Him back, will you help me to stop right away and make it right and maintain that fullness as best I can, humanly possible? Number 10. Because prayer is the means by which we watch for our Lord's return. You see, in the last days, perilous times shall come. All they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There'll be a great falling away in those last days. You can read all that in Timothy. And so we need to do it in prayer. Look at Luke 21. As you wait for the Lord's return, you're to do it prayerfully. Because you're here on a mission. And you're to make sure you get your marching orders. You're to make sure you keep faith. You're to make sure you don't violate what God has you to do while you're waiting for Him. You want to be used to strengthen, to build, to reach, to conquer the enemy. Luke 21, look at me at verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, as you get down to the last days, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. As Christians, we should not be downcast. We should look up. We should not give up. We should look up. Verse 29, he says, then behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they shoot now shoot forth, you see, and know of your own self that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, you see, things come to pass. You know the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Now I know he's speaking to Israel here, but you've already can see how God's swinging back to Israel and the world's focus on Israel since 1948 especially. Before then, World War II, right? And all that. And you can see God, and you can see all the end time things happen. You can see the one world order happening right before our eyes. You can see the Antichrist controlling the world leaders right now. Behind the scenes, although he's not revealed yet. You can see that all the things are happening. You can look and you can watch what's happening with all these things and all the persecution and all the wars and rumors of wars and the earthquakes in diverse places and the pestilences and all these things going on. And you can know that it is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, verse 32, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Now I believe he's speaking of Israel being come back to a nation there. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, that at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. In other words, you forget why you're here and you start living for this world. And that's easy to do, isn't it? I mean, it's just so it's hard living for Christ. It really is carrying a cross, isn't it? It isn't a straight way. It is a narrow way. It is a rugged way. But it was for him too. Amen? And so we must go that way, he says. And so that day comes upon you unawares. You know, there are Christians like Lot that are going to be snatched out, kicking and screaming almost, not wanting to go. Because they've not been laying up treasure on the other side. They've been laying up treasure here. They've not been living for souls. They've been living for self. For as a snare shall it come on all that dwell on the face of the whole earth. What does he say in verse 36 then? Look at this. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Having done all the Bible says to stand, right? And that's... Do you believe he's coming? Do you believe it's nigh at hand? Do you believe we're on the doorstep of the rapture? Do you really believe it's so close that, my friend, it might happen before we lay our head down tonight? Oh, listen, the other night, did you ever get your ears ringing a little bit? You know, a little in your ear. And I thought, was that my ear or is that a trumpet? It's just my ear. Amen. But listen, one of these days, you won't have time to say with that trumpet, because at that sound, the twinkle of an eye, 100 times a second you can blink, you won't be there. And then number 11, while we are here, prayer is used to promote, to cultivate our spiritual growth. It's to bring the Holy Spirit's power upon our work. It's used to lead others to faith in Christ. It's used to bring blessing to Christ's church whom He died for. It's used to pray for those that are on our health list there that are sick. To pray for our members. To pray for our missionaries. To pray for our nation. So many things we need for the church. Amen? And we need for our families. Prayer is... How we grow spiritually. Listen, if you're not praying much, you're not growing much. I'm going to say that again. If you're not praying much, you're not growing much. If you want to grow much, you're going to need to pray much. Because growth comes from trials and tribulations. It comes from the things that God puts there to help us grow. And the way you get through those things and go to the next level is letting God speak through His Word and then using the tool of prayer to speak to God. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Father, I pray that I've been an encouragement to the folks who are here tonight. It's a Wednesday night. They had a busy week last week. They're working hard this week. They've got a banquet coming up on Friday. And their lives are busy. They've got cares upon them. They've got family issues, work issues, spiritual issues that are all battling, Lord. Those principalities of the powers in the air and around us, Lord, they're trying to weigh us down. And yet, we want to be overcomers. And so it's going to take prayer. And I pray that each one of us here, as we leave here, would realize the importance of each day pulling aside. Perhaps as the day goes on, stressful even more than once. Just to get with You and get that peace, to get that joy, to get that guidance. When we've failed You, to get that forgiveness. When we're dealing with lost souls, to see them come to You. Oh, so much, Father, in the prayer. I pray You'd stir our hearts in this area. And if there are any here under the sound of my voice tonight, without the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior, I pray before they leave here tonight, they get that settled. I ask in my Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Friend, if this message has been a blessing to you, or if we can help you in any way, please contact us at the Antrim Faith Baptist Church, P.O. Box 129, Zellinger, P.A., 17272. Or if you're in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, visit us at our church, 248 West 2nd Street, Waynesboro, PA, 17268, at the lower level of the Renaissance Building. We'd love to have you stop in with us. If you'd like to email me, it's Pastor Herb, PastorHerb, at Embark, EMBARQ, mail, MAIL.com. Thank you very much for listening. Lord bless you, and have a great day.